Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, Book of Exodus. The going out, the entering the promised land for us. The freedom that we so desire of entering that promised land. And receiving that one that makes all things right. That is to say, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In history, we have just had a battle with Esau's grandson, Amalek. And Amalek would prevail part of the time, and they would hold Moses' arms up, and then Israelites would win for a while. But finally, God overcame Amalek, and so it was. But Moses then, after God had made this decree of write this memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, and I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. In other words, they were writing back in 1400 BC. They were keeping records. And so it was. Well, what did Moses do then as we pick up this lecture today? Verse 15 of chapter 17, the great book of Exodus, word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, listen carefully. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, I'm going to read it properly from the Hebrew because this is a mistranslation. It's Yahweh Nisai. Yahweh being that sacred name and Nisai meaning banner. It's the flag or the memorial of the living God. Why do we have that banner? Why is it a memorial? To remember what? Verse 16. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. What does that mean? Well, Esau. Well, where did Esau ultimately end up? Just exactly where God said he would in Genesis chapter 27. That he would be north even of our furthest northern border. And that he would, what country is that? It's Rush. This is why it's called the chief prince, which in the Hebrew tongue is Rush, which by the Volga became Rush, and now today Russia. So we're always going to have this conflict between the true house of Israel and Russia. It's always going to be there. It's no new thing. God said, you make a memorial, you write it down. It's going to be from generation to generation. And many of you might say, well, how could that be? Well, have you ever read Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39? Who is that final war with called Haman Gog? Well, it's with Russia, of course. And so it is that it does continue. Now, how precious it is that God uses his name, Yahweh, in this case, Nisai, which is to say, I've got a banner, don't you ever forget it. But then, Father's name, when you want help, you pray to Yahweh Jireh, which is to say, Yahweh that provides. And you use the proper name in prayer and in request. And how precious it is that Father uses these names to signify what he will do. It's his promises. Do you ever claim them? Well, I didn't really know they were there. Well, it's no wonder you don't claim them, and it's no wonder you don't receive them, huh? Chapter 18, verse 1. Let me say something about this particular chapter. It is a parenthetical chapter that comes in between Numbers chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. It is to bring Jethro, which Jethro being interpreted means His Excellency. It's Moses' father-in-law, is coming out of Amalek. It is to document parenthetically that certainly Jethro, His Excellency, and Moses' wife were not any part of this group, but were in fact a Midianite priest, which means what? What the chapter is telling you is that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law is not a Kenite, as a lot of people translate it, but is a son of Abraham by Abraham's second wife, Keturah, and you can read of it in Genesis chapter 25. It's no problem. And he became that Midian priest, which only a child of Abraham can be through Midian, his offspring. So, chapter 18, let's get with it then, in parentheses, inset here to stipulate this thing. And when Jethro, that's to say his excellency, his given name is Reuel, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. He heard all this good news. Verse 2. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, verse 3, and her two sons, of which the name of one was Gershon, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and that's what Gershon means. Verse 4, and the name of the other was Eleazar, for God of my father, saith he, was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And therefore the children's names carry through, and so it is. But here Jethro, the priest, is bringing Moses, his wife, and her the offspring, verse 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God. What's the Mount of God? Well, it's Sinai. This is where God would speak a great deal. It means the bush, Sinai being the bush of God. Verse 6, and he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. We've come here. 7, and Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeyance, and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. This was customary of the time, and a standard greeting. 8, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. How God opened the Red Sea. How God let Israel across and then drowned all of Pharaoh's army right in the bottom of that Red Sea. How that God always, he provided sweet water, and then he would provide food. How precious it is that God did all these things. And yet, guess what? You've still got some of our people that ratchet jaw, yakety, 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 murmurs, mummers. You're always going to have that percentage. Verse 9, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. 10, and Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now, I don't want you to overlook one thing. Here this man, Jethro, that many people call a Kenite simply because geographically he lived among them. Just as I live in Arkansas, that makes me an Arkansan. But being of Irish descent of the House of Israel has nothing to do with being an Arkansan. That's a geographical title, just as the Kenite was a geographical title for Jethro. But what I want you to see is, does he give Moses credit for delivering the house of Israel? Does he give Aaron and Miriam credit for having delivered? No, he gives God the credit. And that's as it is and should be, because it was God that delivered them. And only God could do it. And this is what you want to remember in your lifetime. That when you call on our Father, and when you practice your faith to document to Him that you do believe, then Father takes action. You can always count on it. Take action. Verse 11. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. That's a small g, lowercase. For in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly, He was above them. Father was above everyone, everywhere. Verse 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. They had a family, kind of a reunion get-together here. Verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning until evening. There were thousands of them. Thousands. And here we only have one judge. It's wearing the judge out, and it's wearing the people out, having to wait hours after hours after hours for a decision. And here we only have one judge. I want to emphasize again, this is a parenthetical chapter. This is inserted, and it is the work that God would place here to identify Jethro and his actions upon the family. 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, I mean, it was wearing them out. He said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people?" Question. "Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening?" They can't get anything else done. They have to stand in line, take care of business. 15. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God." That's what they come for. They have difficulties. They have disputes. And I must settle those disputes. I am their go-between to God. I'm their judge. God being the chief judge. 16. And when they have a matter, this word matter means a dispute, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. And notice he draws the difference between statutes and laws, and even could add judgments. This is why when you start throwing God's law around, you want to be real careful that you don't have some scripture lawyer that does not understand the law of God, statutes and ordinances. They're all different. And many of the blood ordinances have been done away with by the blood of Christ. They don't apply even anymore, such as circumcision. But to know the law and to understand it is a deep, rewarding study. And that's why they had to have a judge. Verse 17, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good." This is, you're wearing yourself out, you're wearing the people out, and you're going to kill yourself, and you're going to disgust the people. They're going to give up. 18, thou wilt surely wear away both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And again, you remember when Hur and Aaron had to hold up Moses' arms? It takes a family. It takes the whole family of God working together to get it done. One entity, aside from God Himself, can't get it done. So you have to use common sense. Common sense is a gift of God. It gets things done. And this old Jethro, this son of Abraham, this priest of Midian, he's given some good advice. 19, hearken now unto my voice, listen to me, I will give thee counsel. I'm going to give you some advice. And God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. In other words, I'm going to give you some counsel. I'm going to tell you what I think you should do. But I further want you to take it before God and ask God's permission, ask God's approval before you do anything. This again shows you what kind of man this priest of Midian was, this Jethro, this father of Moses, father-in-law of Moses, that he was a godly man and a godly priest. And he gave God all the credit, even down to his counsel as a priest, take it to God and get God's approval and then go with it. Verse 20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work, underline that, work that they must do. This is part of understanding God's plan. It takes work. And, you know, a lot of people like to leave that part off. But it does take work. And also, again, I want you to note that Jethro brings a separation of ordinances and laws. There is a difference. How precious it is to be able to understand the law of God. You know, many people think that the law is bad. The law is not bad. People are. It's when people break laws that they get in trouble. God gave us laws to keep us out of trouble. And when you obey the laws of God, you're going to do pretty good, even in a wicked world, but you will be wise enough to know how to take care of yourself. Verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, that they love the Father, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of 100, rulers of 50s, and rulers of 10s. Let's just have a little municipality here. Let's break this up, whereby the ones with 10 can take care of the easy stuff, and then if that doesn't do it, go to the 100, and the really hard stuff comes to you, Moses. But here we have the setting up of a municipality to ease the burden and to give the people better service. There would be judges, and inasmuch as it says men, the word is ish, it doesn't mean Adam, because one of the main judges was a female. Okay, name was Deborah. So when the judges were appointed, so. Don't get bent out of shape thinking, well, God himself said it can only be men. No, the word is ish, and it's the history itself reports otherwise. Verse 22. And let them judge the people at all seasons, year round. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee. But every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. In other words, we're going to split this up. This is pretty good advice. This shows you that old Jethro was out of a good seed line, being Abraham himself. Verse 23, if thou shalt do this thing, and God commanded thee so, you approve it with God, and if he approves it, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. It will bring a greater peace. Here you have people by the hundreds standing out here in the hot sun all day long, and you are taking care of the hard cases, easy cases, and there is no way you can possibly take care of all of them. And by splitting it up in a municipality and letting not man's law, but God's law and ordinances rule, then certainly we see the statutes of God come bloom forth. And naturally, God is going to approve this. Verse 24, so Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law. He listened and did all that he had said. He took it to God after having heard it. God approved it. 25, and Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And I can tell you quite frankly, the rulers of tens probably were the luckiest, okay? They had less to deal with and yet a surer hand for the easier job is what I'm saying. 26. Who, don't worry. When God gives much, he expects much. When God gives you the ability to handle hundreds, don't worry, you'll be able to. If God gives you the ability to handle thousands, don't worry, you'll be able to. Why? Because it isn't really you doing it. It's our Heavenly Father. It is the gift of God to be able to direct, to keep the peace, to bring common sense upon the people, and to bring peaceful lives whereby people can reach from morning to night without any heartaches necessarily that they can't handle. They know how to take care of business. They know how to work within the confines of God's laws, statutes, and ordinances. Verse 26, and they judged the people at all seasons, the hard cases they brought unto Moses. But every small matter, they judged themselves. They took care of business, and they got it done. How precious it is when our Father is working among the people. Things always go so smooth. You leave God out of the equation in your life, you go ahead and do something without talking to him about it, and see how it ends, how it turns out. You would be foolish when you know the power of the living God and his wing that he stretches out to protect those that love him, and come out from under that wing on your own. That's a little bit sottish. I could tell you what that word means in the Hebrew. It means stupid. Okay. Verse 27, and Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Then the end of the parenthetical chapter. But what was accomplished there? This old man brought a lot of common sense and loved Moses. The day that Moses drove the Kenites away from the watering trough, drew water and watered his daughter's sheep. And they came in early and he said, bring that man home. And then Moses married one of the daughters, and so it was. But right, I mean, with only God could arrange something like that, that Moses, having been run from Egypt, across the desert, ending up in an alien land, and bouncing right into the home of an Abrahamic family. Only God can arrange things like that. And so it was. Chapter 19, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day some came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Sinai is the bush of Yah, okay? And what this would be, with the first month on the 15th day being Passover, what is important that you take note of is we're about 46 days away from Passover. Do you know what happens on the 50th day after Passover? It's Pentecost. Though Pentecost didn't exist at this time. But in a sense it does, because you know what's going to happen on that 50th day? God is going to give us the Ten Commandments. So watch the time as it goes by. We're on about day 46 right here. 2. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the Mount Sinai. Verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and we're about 47 days now. Moses went up to the Mount of, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Tell them what? For you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. I brought you, I got you free. Remember, we're on the 47th day. Verse 5. Now therefore, if, that's a condition, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I own it all. And if you will keep my law, in other words, it would be this family through which the Christ child would come. And that's why he calls it a peculiar treasure. God's elect even falling into line. Verse 6. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, that's God's elect, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, what is that holy nation? Well, let's see here. Is that a nation where they blow up little kids? Is that a nation where they put turbans on their head and blow them up and blow their brains out? Is that holy? I don't think so. I think you have to look around a little bit. A nation that is free. And a nation that's very constitution. Taken from general law, which is God's law. Taken from the Word of God. And here you will speak unto the children of Israel. Verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Now, they're having to take Moses' word. Yep, that's what God said. God's going to change that. He's going to let them hear him talk. Verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. You think the Lord's going to accept that? No, the Lord knows those people. The Lord knows that as many times as he sends Moses back and forth, he said, hey, you better listen. That when he finally gets up and gets the Ten Commandments, they're going to be partying and worshiping a golden calf down there. Now, what do you think about that? What kind of people would do that? All the miracles that God has done, it's hard to fathom. I mean, stupidity at its highest. But then, thank God not all are like that. There is still that precious treasure that will hold that line. They will hold that truth. Let's continue next verse, please. 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak. I want to tell them myself. With thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. He brought that right back. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Here we got two more days thrown in there. Tell them to clean up. Verse 11. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now, how many days were we at before this 3 started? 47. 3 is how many? 50. Pentecost. Okay. Well, what's going to happen on that day? We're getting the law. God's going to speak. And it won't be man speaking. It won't be having to take man's word for it. They're not going to have to say, well, Moses went up there, we know not what he went or what he said. They're going to hear God's voice, and it will frighten them to death. By that I mean not literally, but spiritually. It's going to shake their gourd up big time. They're going to hear him speak. And when you hear God speak, it isn't just an everyday occurrence. It's something real special. But here we have that 50th day coming. Verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds upon the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself, he meant it, that you go not up unto the mount, you stay off of it, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. Why is that? Well, God's in a different dimension. And he was going to show things. But there are certain things that God demands absolute obeyance. Absolute. And this happens to be one of those cases. And don't go past that or you will die. And certainly, would they listen? Well, we'll find out in the next lecture. It's the 50th day. Coming up here. And we're going to get to 10 Commandments. Don't miss the lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldean, or Greek in which God's Word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
And there we are back again. The 800 number, please, 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. You see, we have one judge. That's our Father. You have the right to spiritually discern what you should hear and what you should not, what you should adhere to. Therefore, that's a gift from God that lets you know the correct path that you should take if you want his blessings. Makes all the difference in the world. Those of you that listen by shortwave, it's always around the world. It's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request? You don't need the address. You don't need a phone number. Why? Well, God knows what you're thinking. He's a mind reader. No one can ever prevent you from praying because you don't even have to pray out loud. They don't know that you're praying sometimes. But let him know that you love him because he does love you. That's why he created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. He wanted someone exactly like you. But he does want you to love him. Do not disappoint him. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, we got Elizabeth from... My name is Elizabeth. I'm 11 years old, and I'm staying with my grandparents' house in Georgia. At my real home in Florida, We never go to church. I have one brother and one sister. They are both younger, and they need to know about God. And I think and I feel that I'm missing something about God. My parents are always using God's name in vain, and I shake my head, but I don't say a word. My grandparents, they are always telling me about God. Whenever we never pray at my house, but I do in my mind, even at meals. What should I do? Well, darling Elizabeth, you're doing what the best you can do right now. You see, I want you to remember in the 13th chapter of the great book of Hebrews, God assures you there, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. And he won't. And for an 11-year-old, and I like the fact that you give God 5 stars. That's how much you love him. He's not going to let you down. He's going to stay right with you. And we will join you in prayer that your family begin to see some of that beauty that is in Elizabeth. And tell Samantha, I really enjoyed the drawing. Okay, it was beautiful. God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we love you, girl. You hang tough. You're doing real good. Randall from Florida. After leaving Egypt, did they eat the cattle and sheep they brought with them during the 40 years or just manna and quail? Basically, they kept their breeding stock. You do not eat breeding stock, but and participated in that God provided. David from North Dakota. I'm incarcerated for the murder of my ex-wife. I have repented, but I cannot find any peace. Am I lost forever? I hunger for God's word. I listen to your program each day. I believe in Jesus, but I just can't seem to understand his word. Is there any hope for me? There's always hope. You see, who is your main judge? You want to focus on that. Your main judge is Almighty God. When you get there, you will have the main trial, okay, for having taken the life of your ex-wife. She'll be there waiting. And you want to focus on that. It's pretty difficult if it was a lying in wait, hateful, bitter taking of life, or if it was a crime of passion. That's two different things. And you've got to know God's law to know the difference, and I'm not going to go into that because I have no knowledge of what caused it. And only a fool makes God's law judgment when he knows nothing of the case. But I can only say, what I do know is that God is the final judge. And so what you want to do is get right with him. It's important that you listen to his word. And studying with us is a good way to do it if you're having trouble studying on your own. But don't give up on that. You keep trying it. Go along with us. But talk to your father. And let him know how you really feel from your heart. Don't try to con him. You do that and you're in a heap of trouble. You always talk to him straight from the heart because he knows when you're trying to con him. Big time. Okay, Sean from, I don't know where Sean is from. Is it okay to make donations to take care of elderly even though their faith is different? And is this something that a giving heart should do? Well, have you ever read the second epistle of John? What does the second epistle of John say? The second epistle of John says, if you as much as wish Godspeed to someone that has a different message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a partaker of their evil deeds. Now, if you feel you're free of that by the person, then, hey, more power to you. But is when you start giving to other faiths other than your own, you're kind of, especially if it's a tithe, because you tithe where you're fed. God's word. Period. You can give love offerings to whomever you choose as long as you're not aiding something that is against God's word. But you aid something that's against God's word and you become a partaker of those evil deeds, you're in trouble. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying if you partake of, naturally, if you're against God and you help somebody that's against God, you're simply against God. Not a good place to be in. Vincent from Mexico. Pastor Murray, could it be possible that I am Michael the Archangel in human form? Please let me know. Well, if you're in human form, it would be impossible for you to be Michael the Archangel. Because Michael the Archangel is an archangel, and archangels are never, never, never born of woman. Okay. They are a much higher office than a regular angel. And Michael is who Michael is, and Michael is still in heaven right now. And he's got Satan by the throat, and he's holding him and all of his angels there until God says throw them out, as it's written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. So, no, in Mexico, you are not Michael the Archangel. Gerald from Arkansas, Pastor Murray, do you believe we are resurrected before the tribulation or at the seventh trump? Well, if you die, you go right then. Boom, you're resurrected right out of here to a higher spiritual body and you're back with the Father. But, you know, as you read in Mark 13, God's elect and Christians, real Christians, must make a stand against the false Messiah. You can't very well run like a scared rabbit and be a hero for God, like some of these churches teach you to do. I'm just making friends and influencing people here. So, but you have a job to do. Satan's tribulation, we will go against him. We will throw everything at him that God gives us to throw at him, and we will have the victory. Teresa, why do some people get healed and some people don't? Well, there are health laws. You see, God created these flesh bodies. And then he sends us this manual telling us how to operate them, how to stay healthy. God can heal some people, and they're going to fall right back into the same old trap of eating junk, okay? Unfit, scavengers, stuff that will make you sick. Sick, sick. And then they wonder why they're not healed. Because you're not following God's health laws. If you want to be healed, you must follow God's health laws. Other than that, we live in a polluted world. There are so many pollutions. And people do such terrible things to their own bodies. And taking stuff. And sometimes it's necessary. But this polluted world is not a place to be healthy, but doing it God's way will sure give you a great advantage. Benjamin from Georgia, you say that you do not believe that anyone will commit the unpardonable sin and refuse to let God's the good Lord's spirit to speak through them, but don't you think that the people responsible for the 9/11 killings will refuse to the Holy Spirit? Man, you are so confused. The only people who can commit the unpardonable sin are God's elect. The people that plan 9/11 are definitely, they are Satan's own little troops. They are will never have an opportunity to witness for the Holy Spirit. Quite the contrary. So you're a little bit confused, Benjamin. And to have a name like Benjamin, so biblical, meaning son of my right hand, and you would ask something like that. I'm not belittling you, but you're in way over your head. Okay, you're not a student of God's word, I can certainly tell that. Only God's elect who refuse, as it is written in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, who refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through them when they're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, can commit the unpardonable sin. The other goonies are gone. George from Arizona, when one of your loved ones leaves, will you see them again and will you recognize each other? Of course. The spiritual body is made in an exact image of the flesh body is made in an exact image of the spiritual. So, and so it is. And that's, it is biblical that you will recognize them in Ezekiel chapter 44, which is the millennium, and from verses 20 through 25. Todd from Missouri. If Jesus was God in a flesh body, then why did Jesus pray to God? Can you please give me some scriptures on this? Where did you ever read that God, that Jesus prayed to God? I don't think I've ever read where Jesus prayed to God. I've read where he prayed to Father. For he always called God Father, not God. Okay. And so the reason he was in a different dimension than our Heavenly Father, and God sent the Son as Emmanuel, God with us, so that a bunch of wimps couldn't say to God, well, you sent us down here in these flesh bodies and you don't know how painful it is and how much trouble it is. And you sit up there on the throne and try to tell us what to do. So God saw fit, as it's written in Hebrews 2, to be born of woman just like you were, and to show us how to get it done right. And in so doing, he destroyed the devil, which is to say death. And so it is, and so he did. And it is written, and so it is, it comes to pass. Dee from Louisiana. I hear many televangelist people, and in some charismatic Christian groups, referring to seed money. Is it anywhere in the Bible that one of the definitions of seed means money? Well, let me see. The word seed in the Greek is sperma, male sperm. I don't think you can get money out of male sperm. And I really don't know where they get that from. Okay. Other than God said, don't ever take a begging bag with you if you're going to teach my word, especially on television. You know, don't take a begging bag. If people receive you, that's fine. If they don't, kick the dust off your feet and beat it. But don't beg. So, I don't know. I would question their scholarly ability, okay? If you've got a Strong's Concordance, you can check that out yourself and find that I am correct. Gloria from Louisiana, you mentioned that Jesus was a divorcee, located in the book of Jeremiah. Please tell me what chapter and verse, please. I'll be listening. Well, you misunderstood. I did not say that Jesus was a divorcee. I said the living God was a divorcee. Why? He divorced Israel. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. He said, that old heifer, I just wrote her out a bullet bill of divorcement. I got rid of her. Okay. Now, you would usually hear me follow that up to say when Jesus died on the cross, she was free to remarry then. Okay. And so it is. That's what the Testament, old and new, which is the will, has to do with inheriting eternal life. And from Virginia, is it possible to baptize someone without submersion if there is a physical reason not to? God bless you and the word you bring to all of us. You have saved my life quite literally. Well, thank you for that, Anne. But it is God's word that does it. It is powerful. And yes, we have baptized people that have various physical problems that could not be submerged for one reason or the other. And God accepts that. You know, you can anoint with the oil of our people, and he accepts that. It's fine. Chuck, if God is so merciful, then why does he let his children be mistreated by adults that they suffer so? Well, it's because Chuck, people like you and others do not insist that God's law be enforced. In other words, God said if somebody rapes and murders a child, he wants them publicly hanged, stoned, killed. And he wants the father and the mother to be able to cast the first stone. And others will see you. These things will cease happening among you. So, why haven't we been doing that? Rather, what we do is we try to coddle. I mean, you will actually have so-called Bible thumpers show up at a penitentiary where they're about to execute somebody that did rape a child and beg for their life. Okay. Against God's word. And what does that do for somebody that has a weak mind that wants to molest a child? Well, they're, bless their heart, they understand by weakness. Yeah, that's the way you should understand it, and then we'd be rid of them. You might say, well, how can that deter, how would it deter a child being molested if you actually took the guy's life? Well, let me ask you a question. How in the world is he going to molest a child if he's dead and in the ground? Okay, naturally, it's over. It's done with right there. Okay, Helen from Illinois, you answered a question on 9/27/11 in the, okay, let me get, oh, of a period or a student using pork in their bean recipe. May I offer additional information for you to tell our other student listeners who follow God's health laws, who used to eat pork before learning of God's food laws, that there are now turkey products that do taste like the pork products and are very good that Walmart carries, such as Genio brand turkey bacon, turkey ham, and turkey roast, and there's also turkey sausage. And there's also good beef bacon at some stores that you can buy, or you can always make your own, okay? And thank you for the input. Clay from Mississippi, where in Psalms is the soldier's prayer? The soldier's prayer is in Psalms 144. What does it say? It said, Lord, give me the strength and the power to overcome my enemy, to destroy him. And that be the enemy of the people, free people. People that would prevent you from loving God and serving Him as a nation. Gail from Virginia. I recently heard a sermon. Let me read just, the pastor said, on angels. Okay, I thought you were giving the name of a church. The pastor said that angels did not have souls, and that they didn't care for us one way or another. They only carried out orders to the... You know, we have so many uneducated people who are supposed teachers of God's Word. Do you know what an angel is? You know, many times in the Bible, one that I can think of approached John, another Daniel, who was one of our relatives passed on, and in a spiritual body, he's an angel. And he told him, get up from there, don't you worship me, I'm a fellow servant, just like you are. And you think they don't have hearts or souls? Of course they do, they're your passed on loved ones, even. And naturally, there are bad angels, just like there are bad people. So there are some angels, the fallen angels could care less, but Michael and Gabriel and the others, read Daniel chapter 10, how the angels fought for us through Daniel. Mary, you know, I would be careful what I heard. If somebody can't back something up with Scripture, then discount it, period. Because nobody could back that up in Scripture. That is so ignorant. I probably shouldn't. I'm talking too plain, but that's plain enough. Okay, Mary from Missouri. If I understood you correctly, Satan was guarding the mercy seat in heaven. What was he guarding it against? And was Goliath the offspring of a fallen angel? Yes, he was. Well, God wants his children to love him. But to have love, you must have free will. And then God, in giving free will, gives opportunity for someone to go bad, if they so choose. That's what free will is about. But you see, love that is acquired in any other way than free will is either bought, purchased, or ordered, and that's not real love. Therefore, God had to protect the mercy seat, and I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but most of all, God loves you for it. Know what makes His day? It's the letter He sent to you telling you how to be happy in these flesh bodies. So when you absorb that and live it, it makes His day. When you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. But most important, though, you listen to me, listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word